Amen. Praise the Lord. So I'm preaching tonight. Amen. So as you can tell, I'm a little bit nervous. All right, always am. I'm more nervous here preaching my home church than I am anywhere else. Praise the Lord. So I pray you bear with me this evening. And praise the Lord. I hope you don't have to endure it. I hope you get something out of the preaching. So let's pray and ask the Lord to show up here tonight. As I always say, you don't need any of me. You need more of the Lord. Amen. And I'm not worthy to stand behind this pulpit where I've heard many mighty men of God preach, men that I've looked up to, men that I call heroes. So I don't take this lightly, church. I hope you know that. I love all of you. And as you know, I'm a little bit of a jokester. I try to be funny, and that doesn't work out well. So I'll just go ahead and stick with the book. Amen. But I will share a joke with you. There was a couple getting up for church one Sunday morning, and the Mrs. got up. And she went in the bathroom and noticed her husband was still in bed. And when she got all around for church, she came back and noticed that her husband was still under the blankets. She pulled the blankets back and she's like, "What are you doing?" And he's like, "I'm not going." She's like, "What do you mean not going?" "I'm not going." He's like, "Why are you not going? Give me two good reasons why you're not going." He says, "Number one, I don't like them. Number two, they don't like me." And she goes, "Great, I got two better reasons." And he's like, "Shoot." She says, "Number one, you're 46 years old. And number two, you're the pastor." So, but praise the Lord. I hope that one did it well for you. So, all right, let's take your Bibles out. I almost said hymnals. I do it the opposite way. Good evening, good morning, good whatever. All right, praise the Lord. Take your Bibles out this evening. Open it up to the book of Ecclesiastes, I won't be there too long. My messages are long introductions and short messages, if you know me, amen. So Ecclesiastes, if you will, chapter 3, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, all right, some of you are there way before me. There we go, I'm there. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, all right, in verse 1, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. All right. "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to dance." "A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God in heaven, we sure do thank you and love you, Lord, for tonight. I thank you for this church, Lord. We thank you for that great day of salvation, Lord. We thank you for we get another chance today that we didn't yesterday. We thank you, Lord, for our pastors, our preachers, our teachers here under this roof in this church. We thank you for all the hands that go into to keeping this thing together, Lord. But most of all, we thank you for being the head of it all. Father, I'm just a man. I have no power. You have all power. You have the preeminence, Lord. Father, we pray here tonight that you would show up. Father, hide me behind your cross, as it's said by so many preachers. And I need that tonight, Lord. These folks don't need me. They need you. I pray you meet their every need tonight. I pray I can just be a little bit of an encouragement to them tonight, Lord. We sure do love you, Lord. I, for one, I'm ashamed to say, I say that often, but I probably don't love you as much as I say I do. Because actions speak louder than words, Lord. Father, forgive me. Cleanse me. Wash me of anything that could be contrary to your word tonight or to you that hinder me from being a help to these folks. I love them, Lord. This is my church family here. Probably some visitors here or there. We love you, Lord. And all these things we pray in the name that's above every name, in Jesus Christ's name, our soon coming King. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. As we're in the book of Ecclesiastes, just for a moment here, I'm going to share with you some thoughts that I've had throughout the week. You're like, oh man, Brother Ray's going to share his thoughts. We're going to be here for a while. Amen. There's not enough time in the world for that. I keep looking up here at the clock, but they moved it here, so that's messing me up a little bit. But don't worry, I won't preach too long still. So, amen. But the book of Ecclesiastes here, as we read here in verses 1 through 5, I wanted to stop. It says, a time to build up and a time to weep. I wanted to preach to you tonight a little bit of a topical message on this thought of crying, this thought of weeping. The title of my message tonight is Why I Cry. Why I Cry. You notice that I didn't put why we cry. Why we cry. Because this is a little bit personal to me. I'm just sharing with you my heart here tonight, church. Just sharing with you my heart here tonight. And I believe it might be a help to somebody that's in here, all right? Or anywhere for that matter might be listening. But the other day, I was at my workstation at my new job, newer job, been there 6 months now, praise the Lord, and it has been a blessing. My hands always yell at me, what are you doing? You're not used to this. it's crazy. But praise the Lord. And I was sitting at my desk, I was listening to some preaching while I was assembling some parts, and I just started tearing up, just started weeping almost uncontrollably. Trying to hide it because I'm working with a bunch of grunhards to my left and to my right, you know, and I want to be a man, you know what I mean? I don't want them to see me crying. But it's not a shame. We ought not to be ashamed to cry because of the things of God. We ought not to be ashamed to cry because the Lord has done something in our lives that man, we want to shout about sometimes. Can I tell you, there's things going on in the world right now that suppress so much of how the Christian wants to express that they got saved from a devil's hell and how the Lord has changed their lives and given them a life exceedingly and abundantly more than they could have ever thought of or imagined. And that's me here tonight. If you had asked me before that I'd be standing up here in front of a church in the middle of I don't know where at Walker Bible Baptist Church preaching anything, leading music at any point in time, I would have said you were crazy. Much like the rest of you in here, it grew up in the world, it didn't grow up in church. I came from a very rigid background, amen? So it's hard for me to say, sometimes when I get behind here, it seems crazy to me. Getting off the beaten path here. But weeping, as I was sitting at my desk, I'm weeping and I'm like, why am I crying right now? So somebody came by, I got this guy that's to my left a little bit. He's kind of loudmouth. He's from Louisiana. If he's watching this, he knows it's true. But praise the Lord, I love him to death. You pray for him. We call him Boots. He's a blessing to me there. He needs prayer, amen. But he came by, he said, you okay? You okay? He's from Louisiana, so I need an interpreter half the time. So I said, he says, you okay? I said, yeah, I'm good. And I noticed, though I'm crying, I said, I'm good. You know why? It's because I'm thinking on the things of God. I'm thinking about what he's done in my life. I'm thinking about my wife, even though I'm horrible to her sometimes. My kids, even though sometimes I'm not the best dad in the world. But I'm thinking about what the Lord has given me. And I thought about a specific situation where one night we're getting ready to go to bed and we're praying with the kids in the bedroom. They have the bunk beds. And all of a sudden, one of my daughters, Opal it was, I'm going to embarrass you, honey, I know. She is bawling. And I'm thinking something happened. What's going on? I said, nothing happened here. What happened? What happened earlier? I said, this guy's so good, Dad. Kelly, get in here. And we just started praying and we had a time. Church, it's good to take a breath, to pause and reflect on the things of God. And if it makes you cry, that's all right. Hey, men, young men, it's okay to cry when it comes to the things of God. It's okay to cry when it comes to thinking about that lost soul that you've been praying for. It's okay to cry when I think about my in-laws and how they got saved. It's okay. There's nothing unmanly about it. Years ago, I had a situation where I used to work that involved medications. I heard these words from a young man. He said, Mom, I can't remember the last time I cried. That's what he said. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. He's got to be 18. He's talking about the suppression of chems in his body and how they kept him from crying. And I said, that's interesting to me. And then he said these words, I want to cry. Isn't that something? Big, tough guy who's big into like martial arts and stuff, he wanted to cry. He said, the last time I remember crying was working in a wood shop with my dad. Thinking, man, that's my dad. Man, that just hit me right between the numbers. Hit me right between the numbers. But this thought here, why do I cry? Why do I cry? As I told you about my experience at work, and I was thinking on the things of God, and I was crying. No, that doesn't make me any lesser of a man. No doubt all of us have gone through one or two or three or multiple circumstances that cause us to tear up, that cause us to cry. There's more than one type of cry. The cry I'm talking about is of a physical or emotional pain, maybe from the loss of a loved one. Maybe somebody said something that really hit you here between the numbers and you teared up a little bit. Maybe something about yourself that you don't like. Maybe something about you when you look in the mirror, you tear up. That's the type of cry I'm talking about. Then there's the cry as in crying out, in distress, in need of help. Pictures of those of such we see throughout the Bible, especially with the children of Israel. We see the definition of cry to utter a loud voice, to speak, call, or exclaim with vehemence or aggressively or with some thunder, so to speak, in a very general sense, to call importunately, to utter a loud voice by way of earnest request of prayer. Isn't that something? Cry out in prayer. There's a thought. How many of us in here have cried out in prayer when things just seem to be coming loose at the seams? Because we can't anywhere else. Is that you here tonight? I tell you right now, I've been there. Sometimes my mom used to have a say, she said, sometimes, baby, you got to get ugly before God. I was like, what? What's that mean? Man, I understand that now more than ever since her passing. There's some things that are just between you and God, and you're just crying out to Him that only He's going to understand and nobody else will. Church, that's okay. Young lady, that's okay. Young man, that's okay. Yep. Who better to talk to than the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? The one that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the stars also? Who better, that created you, that knew your name before you were in the womb? Who better to talk to about those things? By the way, young people, I just want to let you know something. All right? I'm not naive here. We adults, I'm talking about adults and how we have problems. But I'd be foolish to think that little people don't have problems. Just because they're under a house where dad pays the bills and everything seems honky-dory, or mom makes dinner, breakfast, and lunch, things seem honky-dory. Guess what? Young people have problems too. Yep. And adults would be good for us to understand that too. Sometimes young people cry on the inside, but not on the out. You know what I'm saying? If you got daughters in here, you know exactly what I'm saying. Praise God. There's some times where they, what's wrong? I don't know. And they hug you and you're like, why are you, I'm not hugging you. Why are you hugging me? You don't know what's going on. Neither do they. Sometimes they just want a shoulder. Adults, is that you here tonight? Sometimes we just want a shoulder. Why do I cry? Why I cry? Sometimes it's because of hurt. Sometimes it's because of physical pain. Maybe this is you tonight. Maybe it was you who cried from being hurt by someone you trusted and loved. Maybe it was you who cried from being betrayed or taken advantage of. Maybe it was you who cried those tears of sorrow for someone else and their heartbreaking situation. Maybe it was you that shed those tears seeing someone walked away from the Lord that you loved. Maybe it was you who cried and are still crying night after night for that lost soul or lost family member to get saved after years of laboring in prayer. Maybe it's you that still cries after receiving news from the doctor. Maybe it's you that cries while still begging God to forgive you, knowing that He has, but you can't seem to forgive yourself over that past sin that haunts you and oftentimes keeps you up at night. Maybe it's you, mom, that cries over that wayward son or daughter. Maybe it's you, dad, that cries quietly when no one can see you because you're a man. Over that lost person, over that daughter that's struggling, you don't want to let anybody to know about. Hey, there's nothing embarrassing about it. I talk to parent after parent, have talked to parent after parent, multiple workplaces and stuff. Not like I'm a counselor or nothing. That was my wife back in the day, not me. She's the therapist. And she's constantly working on me at home. But parent after parent, hearing conversations I'm having with people, you know what they say? This is what they say. They're quiet, and I know they have something to say. Everybody breaks up. They come to me. They say this. You're lucky. I wish my kid had come to me when... I wish my kids would come to me when... Hey, parent, it's a fine line here. Be approachable. Be approachable. You can be approachable without compromising. Amen? You can be approachable without compromising. Can I tell you, that's an area in which I failed time and time again in my own life with my kids. Sometimes, and I've asked them, sometimes I get them in the car, it's just them and me, and uh-oh, they know what's coming. Hey, how you doing? How's your walk? Oh, man, there it is. And then I tell them, hey, like the other day, I asked one of my daughters, did you read your Bible today? No, not me neither. I'll just say that. Sometimes dad doesn't. You're like, you're up here preaching the Word of God, you don't read your Bible. So, sometimes life flies. Yep. And shame on me for that. I'm the example of my home. My kids mirror me, mirror their mom. I don't read, they don't. How can I expect them if I don't? Amen. 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 So why I cry, why we cry. Maybe it's you that cries, young person, because of things you got going on inside. You know, if you told somebody else, they would look at you differently, treat you differently. Maybe it's you, young lady or young boy, that cries because you have an insecurity yourself, whether it's how you look, whether it's how people perceive you. Let me help you out. Who cares what anybody else thinks? It only matters what he thinks. That's it. And he says, you were created in his image. And to me, that's a beautiful sight. Amen. Who cares if the world doesn't think it is? You are. In junior church, we sing happy birthday to the kids. You know what I tell them? I don't even know if it makes sense. But I know it does to me because I know what I mean. So sorry if your kids come home and tell you that. It's like, hey, Brother Rice told me in junior church, when they sing happy birthday, he says, hey, when God created the heavens and the earth, I was on his mind. Yep. Because you were. Because you were. How awesome is it? See, I'm crying. How awesome is it that the God that created all that would think about you?
Yeah.
Young person, how awesome is it that God that created all this that you see out here, this beautiful pond, this land, soccer games, flag, football, baseball, championship on the 7th, praise the Lord. That he thought of you, he did all that, because he thought of you. All powerful, all knowing, omniscient, omnipresent. He thought of you. He thinks of us every day. I'll tell you a quick story here. It's very quick. It's like 10 seconds. Matthew Seatman shared something with me when I used to do RU with the teens that blew my mind. We were talking about crying. He says, you know that's Bible, right? I'm like, yeah, children of Israel cried all the time. Man, we don't have water. We're better in Egypt. Yeah, we don't have food. It's better in Egypt. Yeah, they cry. They whine. They cry. He said, no, that's not what I'm talking about. I said, well, what are you talking about? Psalms 56.8. Turn there, if you will. Psalms 56.8. Psalms 56.8 in your Bibles. I don't want to get too far away from the Word. Amen. I love this. Praise the Lord. Psalms 56.8. Some of you are there before me. If you're there, say amen. 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 Page 56.8. Psalms 56.8 says this. And thou tellest my... I'll go up a little bit more. Actually, I'll go up to verse 1. Be merciful unto me, O God. Psalm of David. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppressively. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me. O thou most high, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me every day. They wrest my words, and their thoughts are against me for evil. In verse 8, thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Does God care if you cry? Yes, he does. He says, bottle up those tears and put them in your book. Are you kidding me? The God of heaven would look at me and think of me so much that every tear I cry, he knows has a story and what's exactly behind it. If you don't think God of heaven thinks something of you, hey, young people, I want you especially to look at me. If you don't, because I was there when I was young. I was the most different looking kid in school, the whole nine. I was wearing all the secondhand stuff. You know what I'm saying? I was always, you know, I had a bad attitude about not having the things the other kids had. It wasn't until I was 19 years old working steel with my dad in the winter, watching him walk steel I-beams 40 feet in the air with a foot of snow not even tied off, and that's not exaggerating. Can I tell you? Yeah, I cried out of guilt. All those years, just why can't we have, and seeing what my dad did. Not coming home till it was late at night, leaving before I even got up for school. Oh, where am I at? Crying. Put thou my tears into a bottle. Are they not in thy book? Oh yeah, he cares for you. He knows everything you do. Don't you think for a second here, just for a moment, I want you to think with me. Hey, if God numbered the hairs on your head, doesn't it make sense that he knows all the feelings that are going on in your heart and you can't hide them, so why not tell him and cry out to him? Amen. Doesn't that make, it makes sense to me, right? There's things, oh my goodness, there's things I sometimes you just can't go to other people and you're frustrated. Like sometimes I come home and the dog's off the lead and he's running everywhere and won't let me get him. I haven't eaten yet. My wife's got kids crawling out of the cupboards and stuff, and she's. And I'm asked, I dare ask her, hey, where's dinner? The look I get, man. Then I get, well, the house is clean. You're welcome. Well, yeah, it looks great. That just happened today, man. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. Amen. Moving on. I'm taking too much time here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Why I cry. God thinks of you. He thinks a lot of you. He puts your tears in a bottle. He knows everything about you. He cares for you. We have different types of cry. Those of heartache, hurt, pain, and there's a crying out to God in distress, needing help. Hebrews 4:15, for we have not an high priest. Turn there with me, if you will. Hebrews 4:15, and I'm moving along. 4:15. Folks are awesome tonight. 4:15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Let me read that part again. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Let me translate that. God feels you. You think, oh, God doesn't understand. I'm telling you, if anybody came to me and said that, man, I'd be borderline slapping them. God doesn't understand you. He doesn't feel you. He doesn't know. It says right here, hey, he humbled himself in John chapter 1, right? In the beginning was the Word was God, right? And then verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Who was that? That was God manifest in the flesh and walked this earth so we could feel what we felt. Right, whether it was internally or externally when they beat him, so he can hear the things that we hear, go through the things, and yet be without sin. So if you have this thought in your idea, God doesn't understand it, you're crazy. Because yep. The Bible says so. You don't have a problem with me, you have a problem with the Bible then. Amen? That's right. I'm just saying. My whole point is this, is God loves you. God knows when you're going through something. God knows when you cry, whether it's out of distress, calling out, you need help, or whether it's something personal and you've got a hurt going on that nobody else would understand. Then we have the bitter cry. I'm getting way ahead of myself here. I told you, long introduction, short message. Job chapter 1, verse 13 through 20, we see that Job loses just about everything other than his wife. In the end, she says, curse God and die. Yeah. You think that's a stressful situation? You think Job cried a little bit? If there's anybody who said, man, what did I do to deserve this? It would probably have been Job. Jesus. Lost everything, loved ones, kids, property, livelihood. And in the end, his wife puts the nail in the coffin, so to speak, but it wasn't the end. Obviously enough here, a situation to make anyone shed a tear or two. Probably more than that or worse. We see Joseph crying when he's reunited with his brothers. Not a bitter cry, but a happy cry. Hey, these guys sold you off into slavery, man. And you're crying because you're getting reunited with them? If they caught, are you crying? Yeah. Why? Because what these guards are about to do to you ain't enough. That's what I'd be like. Seriously. But that's the flesh. And he said, what you meant for evil, God turned into good. And he cried because he loved them. Hey, do you have a hard time turning away from bad thoughts in your mind towards somebody? Have you a hard time not being bitter? Do you have a hard time? I do. There's times where I've held crunches. Sounds like a cereal. I'm hungry. But there's times where I've had grudges against people, but it doesn't last long with me. And I hate that about myself. Because, you know, I want to be the bona fide, tight t-shirt, tough guy. It never worked out. It just didn't. I'll tell you, my wife, when we first got married, I met a guy that was in college. We got into a fight. I got ran down, with some people at school, and it was a big thing. They shut down part of it was crazy in summer. So years later, I run into this guy, and we're passing each other. And we look, I'm like, whoa. And I stop. He stopped, and he goes, you're, and I'm like, you're, and I ended up shaking his hand. And we both looked at each other. This is what we said. We were so stupid. We were dumb. We were kids. I'm sorry. I said, where do you live? I said, I didn't know you lived here. It was crazy. What is that? That's kind of like Joseph. Hey, man, there were some bitter things I had in my heart towards you, but guess what? Since the day I got saved, I don't feel like that anymore towards you. We hear the cry of hurt. We hear the cry of bitterness. Let's take Hannah, for instance. Getting picked on because she can't have children. Time after time after time, going to the temple, talking to the priest, weeping bitterly. Hey, ladies in here, that's something right there. That's something a man ain't ever going to understand. I'm just shooting straight with you guys. I'm sorry. I'm on your side, except for this one. That's tough. If there's any reason, and that's one of them right there. My girls, since I can remember, since they were little, holding around little babies, changing their diapers, that's a desire they have. Dressing them up, wanting to get married. Only my house, Ken's a little bit darker, and it's just how it works, man. I didn't force that on them. I've been halfway for 44 years. I don't know where I got that from. It's in them. I don't know. But that's a desire to have. And Hannah is weeping bitterly. And where does she go, by the way? She pours out her heart before God. Pours out her heart before God. Hey, there's a lesson for us in here, church. When things get too difficult, when things get too hard, we have bitterness in our heart. We could anyway. Hannah, she went to the Lord. Hey, it'd do us good to go to the Lord. He says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. Who's that I? That's Jesus. Amen. You can lay all that down at the feet of Jesus. And it's hard. Hey, I know, man, sometimes these things are hard. You lay down the mortgage, bills got to be paid, right? Your kids are in trouble in school, or they got to be here, and you know someone's going to repo this. You got all, and it's all stacked together. I call that bomb, like the, what is it, those old school Looney Tune cartoons, that big black bomb with the fuse coming out. I'm like, it's getting ready to blow, right? It would have done me good if I were like Hannah and just lay at the feet of Jesus. Yep. Lord, it's yours. If you're going to do something with it, it's yours. It's not mine to worry about anyway, right? Amen. But we still do. It's the flesh. It's the flesh. We have a cry from being burdened, being heartfelt, being hurt. We have a bitter cry. But just reminding you, David cried also. Let's not forget that. Because of David's sin, loses a child. Man, I can't imagine that. I can't imagine that. I don't want to know what that feels like. I'd cry too. Maybe more than that. Just saying. And then his son Absalom tried to run him out of town. He cried for him too. David was a man after God's own heart, and he was a man of war. He cried. Young man, I'm going to say this again. There's nothing wrong with that. If you're laden down with something heavy, tell somebody. Preferably your preacher, your mom, your dad, somebody that's godly in your family. Tell them. Say, hey, this is what I'm struggling with. The longer you keep that inside, that's a sack. You got an old wood. I did it again. How long has it been like that? Too long. Okay. Man. But anyway, like I was saying, it builds up and builds up and builds up. It gets heavy and heavy, heavier and heavier to the point where you can't carry it anymore. And it'll either crush you or you'll get rid of the weight and give it to the Lord. David cried. Hannah cried. The cry of distress, the children of Israel all throughout the Bible cried when they needed help. And it's funny, if there was anybody that had the reason to, it was the Lord, to say, no, because you don't listen to me. Every time I bail you out, you go ahead and get into the next thing. Aren't you glad our God's not like that with us? I sure am, because, man, it's what time is it? Man, I just messed up before I came in the door, probably. Man, I'm praying hard, Lord, keep me straight as I preach, man. I'm so glad our God is a merciful God, aren't you? Aren't you? You say, preacher, what's the point of all of this? The point of all this is, though you have these problems, well, you cry, and you can cry out to God. You can give it all to Him. You see, that seems pretty simplistic. It is. And aren't you glad it's that simple and it's nothing difficult? It's no type of traditional whatever. It's just coming to an old-fashioned altar in your heart or here at a church and telling the Lord, hey, doing business with God, as Pastor Huber used to say, come and do business with God. Man, I love that. Why? Because it's the truth. And a lot of times we fail to do that, like we're hiding something from Him. He sees it all. Just give it to Him. Don't, young people, especially you, don't let this thing build up. Don't let it build up. I'm telling you, if you don't deal with it now, you're going to have a character issue when you get older that is going to define you. Whether it just stacks up and you explode and have anger issues, or whether you implode and become so introverted and so depressed that nothing, nobody can help you. But there's one, and that's Jesus. So you say, why do you cry, Brother Rice? Why do you cry? I'll tell you why I cry now. Before, I used to cry because I didn't get my own way. Thought I wasn't done right. People upset me. Anger. My brothers. That's why I cried. Selfish. You know why I cry now?
Come on.
Because I got a Savior that loved me.
Yes.
But some man on Vienna Street in Newark, New York, Mr. Frank Chance, shared the gospel with me. I didn't get it right then and there. I went to college, went home, almost wrecked my life for a whole year, came to that very same house at that couch and realized if I needed a mobilizer, I said, you know what? Lord, I'm not in control. Because if I was, this wouldn't have happened, and it did. So that means everything that that man said had to be true, and you're in control. I don't want to go to hell. Bowed my knee right there in Vienna Street in Newark, New York, and got born again.
Amen.
I wish I could say after that everything was honky-dory, but it wasn't. I went back to college, and things got harder. The temptation was harder. Everything was harder. Tried so hard, and then eventually just ran. But there was something that I couldn't break away from, and that was my Savior. There was always something inside. He was always putting somebody in my way, whether it was a crazy preacher from Knoxville, Tennessee, knocking on dorm room doors, or whether it was a scripture sign somewhere that was never there before, whether it was somebody calling me in the middle of the night, whether it was a mama that was at home praying, and every time I came home, it seemed like she knew everything that was going on.
How about that?
Whether it was a mom answering the phone, and before I even said one word, said, what's wrong, baby? I've been praying for you. Why do I cry? I cry because I'm saved. I cry because He gave me a wife for the last 15, almost 16 years. I cry because He gave me four beautiful children that I don't deserve. I cry because of the life I should have had, I didn't get. I got one that's exceedingly and abundantly better. I cry because I'm in a God-believing, God-fearing, missionary-supporting, Bible-believing church, preachers that cry over lost souls, and it's hard to find that anymore.
Amen.
I'm just speaking the truth.
We
get more excited about everything else, sports events and everything other than a soul getting saved. You know what grieves my soul more is when we say, hey, so-and-so got saved, and there's like two or three amens. Man, I wouldn't blame the preacher who said, man, someone got saved, got so excited, kick this thing over. That's how we ought to be. That's eternity. We dummy that thing down. I'm saying it because I've done it. I'm not pointing fingers at you. I'm pointing fingers at me. Why do I cry? I cry because of the heart of people. I cry because when I couldn't pay rent when I was first saved, a check showed up in the mail for the exact same amount that I needed. Because I put my faith in the Lord.
Yep.
First time doing it. I said, all right, Lord. I had overpaid for so long on this thing that I had no idea, and they cut me a check for it. Yeah, well, okay. I cried because my mom and dad, though they were not living a godly life, kept me away from things. I mean, the YMCA was only like a mile from my house. Like, nope. Man, Mom, why? Because that's their child. That's their problem. You my child. You my problem. So she would say, you ain't going nowhere. I don't know those boys, and they don't know me. I was like, okay. Protecting me. My dad. I mean, man, I know I'm waxing long. I'm almost done. I'm wrapping up. I promise. I promise. I promise. And my dad, man, making a promise that he was going to try his best to show up and hardly missing anything in my life. Worked himself, missing fingers. You ever met my dad? He's missing like five fingers. Yep. I've never heard him make an excuse for it. Never. Played basketball with me and my friends all the time after working 14 hours. That's why I cry, because the Lord gave me a dad that loved me, that cared for me, invested in me, even though maybe not saved at the time. I cry because I watched my dad change. I cry because my dad just came back from a missions trip before I even went on one. And his life has been changed. He took a notebook, half of it's filled with notes. Talking about cried, a video of him crying at this drug rehab center. He says, I don't even know what they're saying. It's in Spanish. But they're all crying, so I started crying. I'm like, I'm crying too. Seeing him hang tight to his preacher. But I can tell you this, another reason I cry. Another reason I cry is seeing men of God having a heart for people. When my mom passed away, Pastor Cole didn't even let my dad get to the first step of that porch. My dad said, son, he came running out of the house with his arms wide open like this. He says, we wept and we wept and we wept. He loved your mother. Man, that's awesome. Can I tell you, church? In closing, in my conclusion, I told you, long introduction, short message, amen. Psalms 30, chapter 1 through 5 says, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up. Thou hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave, and thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but for a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I love that verse. Can I encourage you here tonight, church, if I have been? Look, you may be struggling bad, and nobody knows but you and God. But can I tell you, you can hang on. It says, endures for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Can I encourage you to just hang on? I'm preaching to myself here too, not just y'all. All right, let's bow. Heavenly Father, God in heaven, we should thank you and love you. I thank you for just putting this on my heart to share, Lord. I know it's kind of unorthodox, Lord, but I just thank you for it, Lord. I thank you how you spoke to my heart and just reminded me of that great day of salvation, things to cry about, Lord, seeing souls get saved, Lord, seeing lives change, Lord, just the men you've put in my life, Lord, my wife, my kids, and all of us, the people you've put in all of our lives, Lord, that have influenced us. We have good reasons to weep and cry, Lord. Father, we ought to be joyful for those things, Lord. Father, lastly, I thank you for these folks here in this church. I thank you for everybody that's in this room. And there's probably some here that are going through things, Lord. I'm not naive to think they don't. But Father, I ask of you, Lord, that you would help them. We ask that you would help them. You would heal them. You would comfort them, Lord. And Father, they would just leave it at the feet of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. We love you. And if there's anybody here that's not saved here tonight, Lord, there's one cry that's better than all, and that's crying out to Jesus, asking you to come into their heart and save them and forgive them of their sins, Lord. Father, thank you. We love you, and all these things we pray. In the name that's above every name, in Jesus Christ's name, our soon coming King. Amen. Man, praise the Lord. You are dismissed.